I'm going to be so real with y'all. I'm a little bit nervous sharing this story because this is the first time I've publicly, like, fully spoken about it. And this is really one very small piece to my overall story. With that being said, March 2020, 5 years ago, we had just started lockdowns. It was a rough time for everybody. Middle of pandemic, everything was shutting down, everyone was staying inside. During that time, I was at that point with a ex-boyfriend of mine. We were living together, quarantining, all of that. 2 months go by, May 29th, and we broke up. I ended up moving back in with one of my parents, which in hindsight was a pretty bad idea, but I had nowhere else to go that I felt like I could. And exactly 2 weeks later, or nearly 2 weeks, June 16th, 2020, I found myself sitting in the passenger seat of a car when I was told, what if I told you were being kidnapped right now? Now, there were a couple of choices I had. Unfortunately, when that all happened, I had lost all cell service. No one knew where I was. No one knew I had even left the house. And I was kind of put in the situation of, well, you know, I can't contact anybody. I can't, you know, reach out for 911 either because there's only geolocation in terms of like Google Maps following me. So I just kind of had to wait it out and see what happened. And after, you know, about 2 hours, I was able to escape and get back to a town called State College, which is where I was living at the time. And I was able to get intercepted by my best friend and her boyfriend, and they were able to get, you know, plate numbers, details of the car, all of that. At that point, I was up for 36 hours when all of this happened. The night before, I was helping a close friend who was in the middle of an episode with his bipolar. I had been up all night at his house. I took people home. And made sure he was okay, and then the next day happened. I hadn't gotten sleep, and when I finally did go to sleep that night, nobody still had really known what had happened because I kept very quiet about it, besides, you know, visible injuries that I had. And that was probably like the worst night of sleep I had ever gotten in my life. I ended up waking up like an hour after I initially fell asleep and woke up my sibling. And that was not fun having to explain. And then the next day, I was admitted to the hospital for a week. I got all my, you know, internal and external injuries looked at, and also just to give me time to like process what had happened and then speak with the state police. Unfortunately, during that summer, I don't remember a lot that happened. That was partially because, you know, at that point, because everything had happened while I had no sleep, I wasn't really sleeping. I was up all day, or I was up all night, wasn't really sleeping at night. I was only sleeping during the daytime. And I was dissociating. I was waking up in places that I couldn't remember falling asleep in or being at. And really, it was not a pleasant experience. So that happened all in June, August of that year. So August 13th, 2020, got a protection order. That same day, I found out investigators did not press charges, nor were they planning to. And a couple days after that, I ended up finding three other victims of the same person. They had all gone through very similar issues with police not doing anything, them all having to get protection orders and flee the state, which is essentially what I ended up doing about 9 months later or so, whenever I had the opportunity, which led me down to Baltimore. Backing up a little bit, before I left, so it would have been October of that year, I was admitted into the Trauma Disorders Unit at Sheppard Pratt. At the time, it was being run by Richard J. Lowenstein, who created the new term for what was called previously called multiple personality disorders. It had been renamed Dissociative Identity Disorder in the DSM-IV after being MPD in the DSM-III. In earlier editions. And that's what I ended up getting diagnosed with when I was there. Now, I walked in to that unit. I remember it was October 3rd. I remember that day specifically because the day before I was out painting with the same friend who intercepted the escape, and I got a call saying, "Hey, can you come to Baltimore tomorrow?" Now, that's a little bit of a drive, about 3.5 hours from where I was at that point, so I pretty much picked up everything and went down. And then, you know, when I walked into that unit, I was convinced I would just get, like, a PTSD diagnosis, and I would be out of there within a week. Month later, that didn't happen. I had gotten diagnosed with dissociative identity disorder, which, for those who may not know in this room, because there's a lot of misinformation on that disorder, it is comprised up of 5 main symptoms, which is depersonalization, meaning you don't feel like yourself. You might have a part or a what used to be called alter being forward and, pretty much taking over like your conscious in some ways, and they store different parts of memories that you may not remember later on. There's derealization, which is not feeling like the world around you is real, or even having some symptoms of where, like, let's say if I was in a derealization episode and I'm looking at that mic stand, it could look really tiny. Obviously it's not tiny. And then the other 3 is dissociative amnesia, meaning your brain essentially blocks out the traumatic events. Identity confusion, meaning there is confusion between parts and who's forward. And then identity alteration, which is what parts are. It is your brain, forming walls between different, pathways in the brain, which allow you to essentially forget the bad stuff and keep surviving. When I was there in the trauma unit, I was explained all of this. I also have a family member who has DID, so I was familiar with it, but didn't really know a lot about it. And it was a pretty interesting experience. Because we were still in pandemic, one of the workers ended up getting COVID, so we were in quarantine for 2 weeks, meaning we couldn't really leave our room and we did our group therapy out in the hallways. We named our hallway DID Lane. We had 6 people kind of close to the door near the nurse's station. We called that the gated community. And then there were like 3 other people on the other side of the hallway, which were like, out on the, outskirts of our gated community. And so for those 2 weeks, I pretty much, did therapy. We still did individual therapy in our rooms, and then we did the group therapy out in the hallways. I ended up doing individual therapy, group therapy, which included DBT, CBT, and trauma work. We also did art therapy, occupational therapy, and then movement therapy as well while I was there. I left end of October of 2020. And I remember whenever I was being discharged, my normal doctor wasn't working that day. He was out. So there was a different doctor discharging me. And I remember very distinctly sitting in just like a little tiny office in Shepherd Pratt, in one of the older parts of the building. There was still the original stained glass. He told me that, verbatim, he said, "You do realize that once you leave here, your life is going to change very drastically. You aren't, functioning like other people, and you don't have the same brain or abilities as them in terms of, being able to stay grounded and stuff." And those words have kind of held true over the past 5 years. There are some differences now, I think in some ways, because of my experiences and the fact I have this disorder, while it is very detrimental in the fact that, it interferes with my daily life, I can pretty much compartmentalize in a way that most other people can't. But now, 5 years later, when I was given the, diagnosis and the discharge and stuff, they didn't really think I was going to live a very successful life. But, now 5 years down the line, I've moved once to a whole new city. I had started school. I have continued to receive mental health treatment. I've worked really hard on that. And now, in the future, at the end of this year, I'm planning on leaving the country and finishing school up in Australia. which will be the first time anybody in my family has left the country since my dad's side escaped Nazi Germany in World War II. They were all Polish. You know, most of the family that have, you know, lived in Pennsylvania have now been there for a very long time. So, yeah, I mean, I look very hopeful and forward to the future, and I really hope that, you know, we live in a world at some point where this doesn't have to be like a brave thing or something that you have to have a lot of resilience for to speak about these issues, because there are a lot of people who have faced similar stuff with me and are too afraid to speak because of the stigmatization or potential harm it could cause to them. Thank you.